Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gumbelson and Lee Radswell. Along with my co-hosts, Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer, welcome to the Bravo Breakdown. Hey, hey, happy holidays.
Happy Boxing Day to all of our UK and Australian listeners.
Indeed.
Susie, looking at you.
I'm imagining a few of our listeners are a tad hungover. I mean, as they listen to this, so I hope we're healing them with the positivity and nurturing that Pretty Corrupt is known for.
The dulcet tones of our voices, your vocal fry, my overabundance of the use of the word like. I mean, you know, we've got it all going on.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You know what this holiday was for me? Or this past week was a holiday. And that is, this was a fantastic episode of Beverly Hills. We should just get into it. I loved it.
It really was. I'm nine episodes into my fandom, and this is my favorite one by far.
I mean, I was intent on taking this week off, but this damn episode.
It beckoned you.
It just pulled me back in. It's like the mafia. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, it was so good. Who thought that Crystal could throw a dinner party that could make people talk?
Man, these dinner parties are out of control. I mean, obviously, you know, being on the show, there's going to be drama. But if this was my friend group, I would just not show up to their dinner parties because they're messy as hell. Every single one. But that food looked awesome. That food was incredible. Mm-hmm.
She did do a good job with that, which is, I know she's trying to, does she have a cookbook or is she trying to sell one?
She had like a TikTok, or like her social media was a bit about like her like cooking and stuff like that.
Okay, then maybe she's been marketing. There's been something going on with her and like cooking and hosting Crystal. But it's never the food that matters here. It's the fighting. Mm-hmm. That's the dessert. That's the main course.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should take it from the top, from the very top.
Yeah. Emery. Mm-hmm.
She was only in it for like 5 minutes and she still ruined the episode for me. She's finally on the credits, opening credits. She has a tagline. Her tagline is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. I may put you to sleep for a living, but I always keep one eye open. Doesn't even make sense. She's not the one unconscious. What does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I also have a feeling, and I have a feeling that also she has not worked full time as an anesthesiologist since she got engaged. I just have a feeling. I don't have any proof. That's just kind of like, she just kind of seems like one of those girls who like, she finally got engaged and she was like, I'm busy planning my wedding. That's my full-time job. And then she got married and then she has kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have any proof of that. Somebody would probably clap back and be like, she was working, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. Prove me wrong. I would love for that. But at the same time, that's just the feeling, especially after last week's episode and her talking all about her 8 and a half life. Like, that's 8 and a half energy right there. I got engaged. I'm not working anymore. There we go. So
I think it was very telling that when she went over to Kyle's and Kyle had that weird feast for two people, which is bizarre, like that huge spread. And it was just,
like charcuterie bar.
Yeah. And it was, wasn't it just, was it Dorit and Anne-Marie, or I can't remember who was it, Dorit? I can't remember the third person, but it was three people and there was feast for 100 people.
Oh yeah. I was trying to do the math because like I like the catering, obviously she didn't make that stuff. That's brought in catering.
What? 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 No, but those, Kyle didn't cut that all of that cheese herself? What?
Those add up, and those were huge, and there were lots of meats and lots of cheeses, and I was like, was that like $1,200 for like two, for like three people total who eat like 100 calories a day? So maybe she was having people over later. It went to the crew. I don't know, but that was a spread. That was a full cocktail.
It went to her dogs.
Yep. Yeah.
She has to feed all of those dogs, and they just got a charcuterie platter like feast.
Well, Romeo the dog almost got a piece of Anne-Marie for a meal, which was a dogs know. Dogs know when it's when they're dealing with a person that, you know, that's awful. And that the way that Romeo just snapped at Anne-Marie was perfect.
Oh, perfect. The vibes. Yeah. Yeah, dogs can pick up energy.
Yeah.
Oddly, dogs really like me. People are like, oh, that means you're a good person.
They like me too. Oh, yeah. We're fooling them. I don't know how, but we're fooling these dogs.
Somehow. I just couldn't believe that we were still talking about Sutton's small esophagus. I was like, let this not be a thing for this entire season. Please. No, not again. Not anymore.
I noticed something. I don't know if it's something been going on for a while. A lot of the flashbacks they showed to previous episodes were scenes that didn't air. They're like were parts of conversation that didn't actually air in the previous episode. Mm. Like they were taught, you know, it was like expanded. Is that something they often do? Because I was watching, I'm like, I don't remember them saying that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they film, you know, like, what is it, 4 to 6 months, and it all gets basically a week and it's condensed into 44 minutes. So they do have like supporting things that get.
Okay.
Yeah. Anne-Marie, though, I mean, it's not looking great for her. So she finally had her big debut last week. She got her tagline this week. And then she appears as a phone-in on FaceTime. She's already out of town for what may be. I mean, we don't know what's coming, but Kyle was getting ready. Anne-Marie FaceTimes in from Hawaii, and that she's heading to what's going to be one of the dinner parties that defines the reunion and defines the season. Mm-hmm. So the outlook isn't great for her.
Oh, bummer.
The magic eight ball. Will Anne-Marie survive to season two? Outlook not
so good.
Oh no. How sad.
I see that tear you're shedding, Lisa Rinna.
You know, if the outlook was good for her and she was a stronger housewife, they would have had some kind of crew in Hawaii with her to show her family vacation. I mean, maybe they did. I don't know if Bravo would spend all that to trail her and then not use it, but it just doesn't look good. It's friend of.
Not only was she most of her screen time on a FaceTime call, it was a poorly connected FaceTime. Like she was super glitchy and frozen. I was like, this is perfect. This is perfect. That's all I need to see of her.
This seems to be this is like a fun new way. It's Kyle's check-ins with people to bring them into the show. She had Morgan on the other week. Same thing. She's getting ready for an event. She's at her, what do you call it? A vanity? Doing her makeup, and then the people FaceTime in, and then off she goes to some kind of conflict, some kind of nightmare party.
I do think it's interesting to compare the Kyle's energy in the FaceTime with Morgan versus the FaceTime with Anne-Marie, because Kyle's doing the exact same thing, getting ready for a dinner event at her vanity while she's talking to each one of these two friends, and there's a different energy. Now, granted, they're different friends, you know, different levels of friendship, but that's exactly what I'm saying. There's different levels of friendship here going on. I'm just reading, maybe reading too much into it because I want to, you know.
Cordial with one and smitten with the other.
Mm-hmm. A little flirty, a little bit more like,
yeah,
like a mm-hmm. little bit more of like, look what I'm showing you type of thing, as opposed to, oh, look, ooh, this is what I'm wearing.
That's oops, like, my oh, robe okay. slipped.
Oh, mm. Oh, no.
Oh, then
I'm wearing a new necklace. Look yeah, at this. Yeah. Look at my necklace. Oh, my God.
What else? There was Sutton's day.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'm so horrible that it didn't work out. I'm one step closer. yeah, I felt... you know,
I know, at first I thought she was cheating on you, but...
Yeah. No. Well, I hit really close to home. For the better part of 10 years, I lived down the street from La Boheme. So I was like, oh, in my hood too? God damn it. Mm. But why, if you're Sal, the who sells the environmentally safe office supplies, which I would have liked to have gotten more into that, and he's very sweaty, and he's a mama's boy, but what he didn't seem like the kind of person that was like an attention, that wants attention in terms of like being on camera. Like, why would you agree to film your date? You know, like, I could understand it if you're like, okay, I want to be famous. This guy did not seem like he wanted to be famous at all.
Yeah. Maybe it was, I was thinking about that. I was like, obviously she's not paying Alessandra for this. This is the matchmaker. Is that her name, Alessandra? Mm-hmm. This is a mm-hmm. Bravo, you know, an arrangement. So maybe she was like, I'll comp you my services if you agree to sit down for this date. Because it's promotion for the, you know, it's like a whole promotion for the dating service. It's a storyline for Sutton. Because I was trying to understand, like, why he didn't try to get that shut out myself. He doesn't seem like a attention seeker. And it was embarrassing.
Well, I don't know. Do y'all really know Mama's Boys very well from the outside?
I'm like. Really curious how, I mean, obviously they edited it together, excuse me, so that he was only talking about his mom. Like, they just kept cutting back and back to him telling stories, and they cut, like, Sutton's reaction shots were great. Like, she could not have looked mm-hmm. more bored the entire time. Mm-hmm. I love that she even said, like, she almost used one of her excuses about a sick child. But so I'm curious if he really did only talk about his mom, because that was funny, but that also would be heavily produced to look like that.
Yeah.
God. I mean, I would hope not, but I mean, you two have never dated men in LA, but it's sometimes it happens where you think you can talk about multiple things on a date, but it ends up being about one thing. It's him, it's his mother, it's his ex, it's his job, it's like, it's his dog. Like, and you think, oh, okay, well, he's done talking about, we're going to talk about something else. No. Somehow, like, you start to ask him about his job and it goes right back to his dog. Mm-hmm. Like, somehow, like, mm-hmm. how he can't, like, stay late at his, they asked me to stay late at work, but I couldn't leave my dog. And da-da-da. And you're just like, oh my gosh, like, look, I wanted a man who loves pets. But I didn't want a man who loves pets. Like, I want a man who likes his mom. I don't want a man who hates his mom. I want a man who has a good relationship with his mom. But I don't want a mama's boy. Like, no. I want a man who has healthy boundaries with his mother.
I think that's what he was going for. Like, to try to, I don't know. It's kind of a Southern thing. Close to, you know, your mother, close to your parents. Maybe he was just angling me like, oh, she'll like this angle. Like, you know, I'm close to my mom.
That's how,
but he went way too far.
Yeah. Like, when it started, when he led with the mom, I was like, oh, he's trying to show he's like a nice guy. But the thing is, we don't know if he has kids or exes or what. So I think he was trying to show. But yeah, it started like that weird, that story about Vegas and the topless showgirl.
That was like, so weird.
I was like, okay, now we're crossing into Oedipus. This is getting a little, telling risque stories about you and your mom. Okay, no. Just say, like, well, you're
weirder. He didn't even start with the mom stuff. He started with the sweat stuff. He's like, yeah, I'm a sweater. It was just awkward. Like, what a weird icebreaker. I sweat a lot. I'm very sweaty. And there's the look on her face was like, what?
Yeah.
What, you're starting with this?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to lead. And he wasn't, and this is the thing. He's not an unattractive man. Like, he's a pretty attractive man in that age range. And he's got a full head of hair, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. But, like, he's got a full head of hair. That's rare, and especially in that age group. Like,
and he was put together. Why are you leading
with being sweaty? Yeah, he was dressed nice.
Polished, yeah.
And tall. He was tall, which was one of her her very first things. She wanted rich. She said she's gonna money will come later. But what she wanted rich, mm-hmm. or she I'm sorry, she wanted tall and something else. I can't remember. But he definitely was tall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this is why we can't date men on paper. Like that's why like the person on paper and just checking off boxes doesn't work. That's why you do have to meet people. You have to talk to them. Like you can't fall in love with somebody just by like what you read and what you see on an app or what you, like all that stuff. Like, oh man.
Something I've been thinking about too. Like we do know the terms of her divorce, and she is. It's not like she's a widow, which is what I mean. She doesn't have full control of her money. It's not like say. Mm-hmm. Candy spelling or whatever, and she can go do what she wants. Realistically, Sutton probably will never remarry, at least while her ex is alive, because the terms of the alimony include
until don't break Nate's heart.
No. Sutton, she's gonna be no, because I want that money too. So we'll just have a long term relationship. We don't need to be married. It's like, right. If that's going to cut off the money, no.
It will. The terms and the documents that were brought up and everything, it is. So here's, it's, you know, the 300,000, whatever, for life, except for death, obviously, which she has a $20 million life insurance policy on him in that case. So she'll be paid out. But if there's a change in marital status, if she marries, she loses the income. The guy really has to be worth it to her. It's always going to be dating and playing. I don't think she's really looking for something serious.
My only issue with, you know, I'm obviously looking to go long term with her. At some point, I assume a civil, like, what is that called? Like the civil marriage? When, you know, you're not legally married. Like you've been together for, I just can't think of the term. When you've been together for a long time.
Common law.
Common law was what I was thinking. Thank you, Stacey. So I don't know if common law affects alimony. I'm sure it probably does. So I don't know how I would navigate that with Sutton. Like, cause I'm looking to go like Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn with her. Stay together forever, but never get married.
Yes, maybe I support this.
You could stick in there long enough, then break up and get some trickle down palimony, where she just has to pay you out. Like,
no, Nate is in love. Mm-hmm. This is true love. This is soulmate, true financial love.
Yeah,
he's going for the long haul.
I have been in love with her for 8 episodes now, so we're going on 2 months. But it's real. It's real.
You know, I don't know if it's the heels, but she's taller than I thought. Maybe she was wearing heels when I saw her at the Kathy's party, and I didn't really interact with her. She wasn't there late, but I've talked about this before on the podcast, where I'm a terrible gauge of people on camera and their heights. And I thought she was this petite little, like Kyle is petite and short on the shorter side. But I remember thinking like, points for you, Nate. She looked kind of statuesque. She was tall. And I'm thinking maybe she was wearing platform. I wasn't like gauging it so much, but she was a good height.
I find it very endearing too that like it's like a running joke, her wardrobe. You know, she's not necessarily wearing the designer stuff everybody else is, but you know, she went to that, they showed in flashbacks, she went to like on a date with like a cat sweater.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll get into it, but then when she showed up, they were making fun of her, what she showed up in wearing to the Taco Tuesday. Like as soon as she walked in, I don't remember who it was, but they're like, she's wearing that, really? So it's like, it's endearing.
Yeah, she doesn't give a fuck what people think about what she's wearing, to be honest with you. Exactly. She doesn't, and that's one of the things I like. Like when she had the whole cat sweater episode, I was like, I love the cat sweater. Be you, especially on a date like that.
I would actually find it adorable. But she can do no wrong. She can do no wrong. But I honestly, if I had never met her and a person showed up in a cat sweater, I would think it's pretty funny, to be honest.
Have you noticed her pet? Have you noticed her cat dresses for like confessional and stuff? They're like slutty cat dresses. They're like nude mesh with like Beyonce on Renaissance. The cat's reaching over her bosom. I'm like, it's like a slutty cat.
Well, that. that was at her party. Like, that was the black outfit and had like the two panther cats like over her boobs.
And
like,
she has it in white now too. She's been wearing it in white as well. It took me a minute. It's like, cause you know, Beyonce on Renaissance, on the tour, she has those mesh body suits with the like hands reaching over strategically. So I don't know. I don't know what Sutta needs. If she needs a strong rich man or an assistant, I don't know.
She needs.
Well, she might be without an assistant soon, since evidently Dorit's poaching Avi, which is that seems to be a sore subject. Yeah,
that's a real thing in those circles. Like they say things like, "You can steal my husband, but don't take my maid." Like I literally like. Trying to hire someone's housekeeper or assistant. I mean, they do.
But Dorit can't afford Avi.
Let's be honest here.
True.
Like, it's all talk. It's just all talk. She can't afford him.
Yeah. If it was serious, if like someone with like, if Kyle wanted to hire out Avi, it would have been, I don't think Dorit has the same payroll budget that some of these people do. Speaking of Dorit, though, I liked her in this episode.
Oh my god, she was on one. Like, I don't even know how you ruin a Taco Tuesday, because Taco Tuesdays are delightful. But I was taking notes, as I often do. She picked a fight with every single cast member over the episode. Like the Kyle one was slight, because she was really upset with Kyle in the car because she realized she's being replaced by Morgan. But she didn't really snap at Kyle. She was just kind of rude. But she picked fights with everybody else over one episode. And I was like, "What is she always like this? I haven't noticed her being like this season." But man, she was pissing everybody off.
This was exceptional for her. But she will go through times where all of a sudden she gets a bug up her ass or a hair up her ass or something like that. And she'll start like... picking out at least on one person. Like she'll just like bring up something and she won't let it die. Like she'll beat that horse. She'll beat Santos to death. Like,
do not say that.
I mean, I'm just warning you. Like Santos needs some extra security, in my opinion, if Dorit is around. But this was more of her, but usually it's directed at one, maybe two people about the same subject. This was like, machine gun like spraying like Dorit being just like blah, blah, and you this and blah, 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 and you this and blah 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 blah.
That's what I loved about her this episode. Maybe not the main fights, like I had mixed feet like with the Garcelle and things, which we'll get into, but what I did love was her exit that was just so fun I appreciated it. She picks a fight with everyone, it turns back on her, obviously they're not having it, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna head out, that didn't go well, I'm gonna head out. Hey, by the way, Denise and Erica, I think you have something to talk about. Bye.
She threw that dead fish at Denise, like, hey, don't you guys have something to talk about? And both Denise and Erica were like, not really. We don't really want to do this.
I don't want to talk about
that. Was a fun,
are you sure
that was the part,
are you sure?
Yeah, that was the part I really liked about Dorit when she did that. It's like, my job's done here. I'm going to ruin your night. Yeah, like
throwing a grenade and walking out of the room.
Yeah, you guys ruined my night. I'm about to ruin yours. Adios.
The sudden thing was just mean. Like, there was no reason to bring up... Erica probably shouldn't have told Dorit about the driver thing. It started as a joke when they were at dinner, when they had their boozy dinner the few nights before, the Garcelle, Erica, and Sutton. Where Garcelle told Erica about making out with the driver. And it was kind of funny there. Sutton didn't seem that upset. And then Erica told Dorit for some reason, which is fine because they were it was just like a small group, but Dorit did not have to tell the whole group. That was awful.
Because also it was the way that she told, it was very pointed to like make fun of Sutton.
Yeah.
To be like, to point it out, as opposed to we're talking about it. Erica was like, well, you're making out, you know. Yeah. That was a three-person conversation right there, as opposed to, and we're just talking about this, as opposed to like, well, in front of all these people, Sutton, well, you made out with your driver,
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. We're not using what I've done in a private moment with whatever, and that I have shared with you, that has been shared with you. We're not going to use that as ammunition to get me back at something that you think that I've done wrong. Like, that's not the point.
That's like the point of Housewives.
It is the point of Housewives. There was enough going on already. Like, I just felt like, I think there's sometimes where I think that I don't know why. I guess this season there's sometimes I get tired of them picking on Sutton, because I just go, she doesn't care that much. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes Sutton, that thing, I just don't think she cares enough. And so she's going to like say whatever, and then she's just going to go, whatever you want to do. It's not an interesting fight to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There was a scene there where I caught where Sutton in that dinner party, I was thinking about like who she reminds me of. A little bit of Shannon Bedore, especially earlier Shannon Bedore. Mm-hmm. She's a little coddled, a little fragile. Not saying Sutton or Shannon are weak, but they're in confrontation and they can't handle it. And like you see the way they kind of coddle both of them. And then when Sutton did that thing where she was like, and it clicked for me when Sutton did that thing where she's like, and I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'm going to accomplish this in the future. And I've accomplished that in the future. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
In my head, I was hearing Shannon Bedore going, you will all see the truth. And then that's where it clicked for me. I'm like, they're very similar in that way. And then, and then Kyle cuts to Kyle's confessional, and she's like, if I say accomplished enough, they won't think I have a drinking problem. And I was like, that was the moment where I realized who we're kind of dealing with is like a Shannon Bedore, very privileged, mm-hmm. fragile, like kind of, she has to feel out this dynamic. Because now Sutton is a leading housewife on the show. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's not all tea parties and hydrangeas.
I feel like she's learning how to handle the confrontation better. Like, especially with her whole name
the new one this week. Answer the question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I thought it was great. I thought it was great how she flustered Dorit in that sense, because she wasn't letting Dorit answer, but so many times Dorit talks over people and doesn't let them answer and doesn't let them get in a word in edgewise. So it was a little bit of like, well, here's a taste of your own medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a power play when you don't let people talk. So Sutton was making a power play right there again and showing people, I don't care what you're saying. Like she doesn't care. She doesn't care about a lot of these fights. Like, some of these fights, they're frivolous. So you can bring them up, name them, answer the question. Like, tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. Because exactly as if in her first episode, when Erica came at her, was like, or else what? And she was like, or else nothing. And Erica's like, that's right. And she was just like, whatever. Like, I've got plenty of money. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, that is how rich people move throughout this world. That's why they don't get all upset about things on Twitter and stuff, because they got plenty of money. They don't have to care. They pay people to care for them.
Well, Crystal doesn't care at all. Dorit brought up again. This is another fight she picked was with Crystal, about how Crystal told Sutton about their Kyle and Dorit's the conversation they had about Sutton's drinking. Where Dorit said, I bet she puts vodka in her coffee. And then Crystal told Sutton that. And Dorit's still upset. And every time she tries to call out Crystal's like, yeah, I told her. I don't care. So this time, Dorit was trying to pick a fight and it wasn't going anywhere at all.
I don't know why Dorit is circling back to that, because she did say it. I mean, they keep showing the clip where she said it. I'm not defending her with that. She actually said it, and she keeps bringing
up. She said it explicitly. Explicitly, word for word. So what Crystal said, it wasn't an interpretation. It wasn't that she got it like one word wrong. She said it word for word, and she got it repeated word for word. So there you go.
I mean, and she's the one who keeps throwing, like, she could have moved past that and it wouldn't be an issue. Yeah. But now it's going to be reunion fodder when they're like, you keep denying. Or Sutton will be like, you said I put vodka in my morning coffee. And then it's just going to cut to clip after clip of that. So she's setting herself up.
And Sutton's response to it wasn't even the vodka part. Sutton was like, I don't drink coffee. You guys know I don't drink coffee. Like, it wasn't the vodka part she was taking offense to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Dorit is when you talk about bringing stuff up, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, with like Garcelle, yeah. She keeps going back to the thing that Garcelle said in Vegas about how she doesn't trust the group with her talking about her family. And Dorit seemed to be the only one who took offense to that and keeps bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how her fight with Garcelle started in this episode.
Dorit needs to really give that one up, because Dorit looks like a Karen. Like, mm-hmm. It's just like, stop it, Karen.
Oh man, she was stopped dead in her tracks when Garcelle brought up the privilege. Because you can't win. If somebody's, there's no response you can do. There's no comeback from the privilege thing. And she seemed genuinely confused by it. Everybody. 100%. The reaction shots were great. Like, are those Crystal's friends that, you know, they all had chyrons with their names. Are they people that have been on it before?
No.
Or are they just people? Because
they're just guests. Like, they got to Nia witness. Was them. Bill Burr's wife.
Yeah. I would love it if she was on more, because I think Bill Burr on this show as a husband would be hysterical, because the show his entire like mystique persona is like working class Boston. To be in this group, he just make fun of him the whole time, which I think would be amazing.
Maybe like last month, I saw on like Instagram, Josh Flagg was having dinner with Bill Burr. I don't know if they're trying to make their way into that Beverly Hills circle.
I mean, talk about somebody who does not give a fuck. Bill Burr does not give a fuck. Like,
Yeah.
Such a flex too from the wife when she was talking, and she's like, oh yeah, my husband's a comedian, Bill Burr. Just threw that out there. What a flex. What a flex.
She's like, hello. Hi there. Oh, my gosh. Well, I think we should get down to the nitty gritty, because this is the best part.
Yeah. Erica versus Denise. Uh-huh. Let's talk. Wait. Can I do it?
Yes.
I really loved Erica in this scene. It really, her, and I've never been a fan of hers, but she melted my cold black heart with this. She literally was like, let's talk about the OnlyFans. Let's talk about what you don't want out there. It was beautiful.
Or does, in all honesty. Like, you're on OnlyFans. You do want it out there.
Yeah, like, yeah. But like with the daughter, she brought up, you know, Sammy. Let's get into it.
It was great that the running joke throughout the episode wasn't even the OnlyFans. It was how cheap she is on OnlyFans. Everybody, when Sutton was with her, Sutton was looking at it. It was all blurred out, looking at her phone, and like her stylists were like, $7 for Denise Richards? Really?
Right?
Like, I have no idea what OnlyFans. In fact, right before we started this, I was like, I will pay the $7 for this content. But OnlyFans, I went on, it's confusing as hell. I'm like, I'm not signing up for this. This is too much. But the $7 just for that alone would have been funny.
You know, a shout out to one of our listeners, Katie Kirkpatrick. We were DMing about this and wondering if maybe, because I always need more money, maybe if I could beat Denise and start doing Jordan bundles for like $8. Yeah. Thank you for the encouragement, Katie.
Maybe then we can have Nate do his feet on OnlyFans.
Sure. I have nice feet. Okay, I'm in.
You do have nice feet, actually.
Oh, thank you. Oh, aren't you sweet?
You do. Oh, my gosh. But yeah, so that was, oh, my gosh. Because what I appreciate is that neither the producers, editors, the PR department at Bravo, NBC did not give away the ending of this episode whatsoever, which was the best part of the episode. I mean, I think Katie DM'd me too that she fell out of her chair when she like watched the, like, I was full on yelped, hollered, and ran around my apartment. That gagged me so hard. I just was like, you've got to be, oh my God. oh my God. And everybody did. And nobody was giving it away. That was the great part. Nobody was really giving it away. Cause I was like, cause I have to watch it the next morning on Peacock. Yeah, and I did kind of stay off of the socials cause I didn't want to know. But at the same time I was watching it on my lunch break and I was like,
it was comedically perfect that it was while the credits were rolling. And it was basically the last thing that happened in the episode. It just like, that was the end.
So you know what that means. We get to see it at the beginning of the next. We get to see it again at the beginning of the next episode. But again, I mean, I usually say we don't bring up children. Like that's like, they're not a part of it. But there's a little part of me that goes, at least with this, like, you know, and Eric is very protective over her son and stuff, but her son's not in the public eye and doesn't do that stuff. Like, Denise's daughter, Sammy, does have an OnlyFans, and they're not really going after Sammy. That's the thing. They're not saying what Sammy's doing is bad or anything like that. She was just comparing, like, hey, well, then who makes more money? Like, you or Sammy? Like,
Also,
and Sammy got on OnlyFans before Denise, I believe, too.
And I think they've collaborated, which I don't know. I think which is...
And Sammy's, by all accounts, is she's doing very well on it, to the point where Charlie Sheen is... Charlie Sheen was very against it. He never stopped her.
Yep.
But he, in the beginning, he was like, I'm not happy about this. And he said, just as long as you can keep it tasteful. I don't know what tasteful on OnlyFans means necessarily.
And tasteful in Charlie Sheen's eyes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's just why. But he seems to have come around. I saw a quote from him recently where he talked about how proud he was that she was doing so well, which is, that's nice. It seems like the relationship's gotten better. But the thing that Denise is, how many years ago was that conversation? The thing she's still pissed at Erica about? It was years,
about
right?
Because
weren't they saying Sammy was like 14 at the time?
Three and a half to 4 years ago.
What Erica said wasn't that bad. She wasn't accused. I mean, she wasn't accusing Sammy of being in threesome. She basically said, your daughter, at this point, your daughter knows what it is. Mm. And she kind of jokingly said, your daughter knows what a threesome is, kind of jokingly, if she hasn't done one already. I don't think she seriously was accusing Denise's daughter of being in threesome. She was just saying, your daughter knows what a threesome is. She's 14 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an example of somebody kind of mishearing / hearing what they want to hear in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. And then when it's brought back to them, they know that they misheard that and they know that they're kind of wrong, but it's a hill that they're going to die on because, you know, for whatever reason. I think for whatever reason, Denise feels that she's going to die on this hill. She's like, no, you said this about my daughter, when it's just plain as day over and over again. We see it. That was not the intention. She was in no way was Erica saying Sammy's had a threesome. Absolutely effing not. No. So it's like you read that wrong, whatever it was, but now you're unwilling. At this point, you're unwilling to change your idea of what the narrative is. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's weird, and it's a weird hill to die on. It's something from years ago that, and I bring it up. Not, I'm a huge Charlie Sheen fan. I love Two and a Half Men, but I mean, to bring it up, it's something you're so vulnerable to a counterattack on. Oh no, my daughter. My teenage daughter overheard you use the word threesome, the daughter I had with Charlie Sheen, the daughter. I mean, I think that's where, and Erica didn't go there so much because that's like more attacking the family on a personal level, but it's just like, dude, we all know everyone in your household knows what a threesome is.
Well, like, and
as we've said before, you had a threesome in a fucking motion picture film in an R-rated motion picture film. Your daughter might have seen Wild Things before. Like, she might have seen Wild Things. I don't know. Who knows?
So not even just the movie. When Charlie Sheen, I was trying to remember his full-on breakdown. It was like, I think it was about 10 or 11 years ago. I think it was around 2011.
Oh, The Goddesses.
So your dad literally dated two women at once when, if it was 11 years ago, Sammy was what, like 7 or 8? Of course she knows what a threesome was. Her dad dated two women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and she, on her original run on Beverly Hills, Denise talked about having Charlie's sex workers inviting them in for Thanksgiving with her kids. Mm-hmm. So, which, not judgment, I just mean, these kids have had a very colorful upbringing, and the fact mm-hmm. that that one reference that they might know what a threesome is 4 years ago, and this is going to be her big, it's so weird that she's hung up on this.
It just makes, like, while we're sitting here talking about it, like, and I enjoy Denise Richards, mm-hmm. like, always have, and but I wonder if she has basically a revisionist problem, a history of revisionist problem, because, like, thinking about this, like, okay, Threesome on Wild Things, Charlie and the Goddesses, like, there's a lot of history there, so that Erica even saying that, I think any teenager at 14 knows mm-hmm. has known what a threesome is, already implies that, like, she, like, Erica, like, just taking stuff even from that in her, like, subculture, not even just knowing, having a teenager of her own at one point, she just knows what's going on. And this is Denise trying to play revisionist history, which I felt that she was trying to play the second season that she was on, of like, I don't do this type of stuff, I'm a different mm-hmm. type of housewife. Whereas, like, the first season she was on, we all loved her because she was so fucking real. We're like, she's not dressed up, she's in jeans and stuff. And we're like, yes, this is great. She's like all da da da. But so I feel that she's somehow, she's just, yeah, she's a big revisionist. If she doesn't like the way it came off or the way it was, like, mm-hmm. she just revises it and expects everybody else to fall in line. Like, maybe that's a Denise thing, or maybe I just see it that way. But
well, yeah, look at
that's
what
how it's
happened.
Lining up for me.
Look at what made her drop the show. I mean, Brandy, mm-hmm. that situation yeah. happened. I mean, it's been discussed. And what made it such a big deal was Denise's reaction, the cover up, not the crime. So, I mean, it was Denise's reaction to the revelation about her relation, her rendezvous, whatever, with Brandy. It was her reaction that made it a storyline and the biggest point of the season. And she ended up leaving the show. She could have been like, haha, we made out, just like Sutton and the driver. You know, it didn't have to be a big deal. But you're right. It is, if it's not part of her narrative, she's like on it. She loses, feeling, I don't know if it's the loss of control or what, but I don't think she's cut out for reality TV where she doesn't have final edit.
I agree. I 100%. That's why OnlyFans is perfect, because you get mm-hmm. to decide exactly what you put up and who gets to see what and everything like that. So I think that's, like, that's good. That's the great thing about social media in some ways. Like, you get to decide what you put up. You don't get to decide how people react, though. So, as we know. But that just was, like, beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. It was hilarious. It was perfect. It was, honestly, you just couldn't have written it any better. Mm-hmm. Like honestly, sometimes those moments are just.
The first time I ever found myself applauding Erica, I was like, why are you making me love you so much?
This is what I was thinking too. I think another reason why that even hit so hard is because this season she has been so relatively calm mm-hmm. and not been taking on a whole bunch of arguments and everything like this. Like, there was a little bit, you know, with Sutton about the elevator thing in Vegas and stuff like that. But she hasn't been coming at people. She was angry, especially the last two seasons with everything going on. But she's been, so when she came out with this, it's like when, and granted, I got a potty mouth, but when you know somebody who doesn't curse very much and all of a sudden they drop an F-bomb, you're all of a sudden like, oh my God. So with her this season, she just hasn't been fighting that much. She's mm-hmm. been pretty chill about things. She's been taking things on the chin. And
she's
this time she just was like, boom.
Yeah,
exactly. And this time, and she still has a sense of humor and she still has a sense of self. She didn't lose any control, but mm-hmm. she really just was like, this is something you're coming at me. And this is the time when I know I can come at you. So don't get it twisted. I'm not the lazy dog that's just going to roll over and show my belly mm-hmm. because, like, no, I will come at you now. Like, don't think that I'm asleep at the wheel. And I think that's another reason it hit so hard.
It broke, and she broke it down very, like, whether you like her, and I don't even like her that much. Her argument was, like, flawless. I mean, mm-hmm. I was just like, wow. Yeah.
Mm.
Jordan, I'm a little upset with you that you haven't already come up with a parody Twitter account for Kim Richards' scarf. I'm sure there are plenty of them out there. Okay. That was awesome. She just pulled, like, everybody just, but just, even Kyle was like, did you just pull a Kleenex out of your scarf? And she's like, oh, I keep all kinds of things in here.
She was like, what did Kyle say in his confessional? Like, is there a phone in there? Is there a small kitten? It was definitely a little Grey kitten. Gardens. You know, little lady with the scar. I was like, meow. Yeah, if we're going to talk about, there's been some new, this is a PCP exclusive, like legit PCP exclusive. We tweeted about it a little to give you a taste. But speaking of Kyle, I'm sure you guys saw the news. It was in Page Six. I think it's been now been mentioned in People and stuff that Mauricio was spotted in Aspen leaving. I think it was the Hotel Jerome, which is like a 5-star hotel there, with an influencer named Alexandria Wolf. Well, oh God, I'm gonna sound like one of those people. Have I got the tea? I've met this Alexandria. I met her this summer at the Beverly Hills Hotel, where she was lingering in the lobby. You know what we've? I want to say this carefully, delicately. She was waiting. They call her an influencer in Beverly Hills. But what we were doing, I was with a pretty cool group. We were waiting for our reservation at the Polo Lounge, and she came over and approached us and was being very friendly, which in those situations, she's a very pretty girl, very well-dressed. People in Beverly Hills aren't friendly like that. Like, you know, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Let's exchange, blah, blah, blah. And so immediately I was on guard, like, what does she want? I was like, is it because of the people I'm with? Is she looking for clients? I don't know what it is, but people just generally aren't that friendly. And and then eventually her date for the evening arrived, who was taking her to dinner there, and he was a 80-year-old married man. So you draw conclusions what she does for a living. I don't know. But she follows me on Instagram. I have texts from her from back the night. What I'm trying to get at here is that she's the kind of, I don't think Mauricio necessarily even knew he was walking out of the hotel with her. Like, I saw her do it to our group. She latched on in the lobby of a 5-star hotel and just was like making sure to be seen with us in this. And if you look at it, like, I'm sorry, Mauricio doesn't need to buy girls. He doesn't. I don't think he does it. He has girls throwing themselves at him. Whether he takes it or not, I don't know. That's not my issue here. But I think that girl, Alexandra, staged this. Suddenly she's on the cover of Page Six, and now there are statements being made that she's an influencer, designer. It was a script that she had used on us. I had heard that resume. I had a lot of doubts about it, but now I'm seeing in statements and stories things about her that have obviously been fed to the press by her, because she used those on us.
And wasn't she originally from Texas, like Dallas or something?
Yeah, that was another thing. So she was, when I met her, this was in August, this past August. And she was staying at hotels around Beverly Hills. And it's not just the Beverly Hills Hotel. She hits up all of them. It was the Beverly Wilshire. There, you know, where girls hang out, whatever.
The Beverly Wilshire?
Yeah, I was, when you said the 80-year-old married man, I was going to, was it Richard Gere? Because he's getting close to 80.
I just felt like it wasn't kosher. So I kept my distance, you know. And where was I going with that? Wait, what did you ask me?
Oh, well, I asked her about being in Dallas, Texas. Because I remember you sending me her IG, and I was like, oh yeah, she looks very Dallas, like her old pictures. Cause it was something about like, she didn't she ask you if you could help her with her social media or something like that? And I was and we were all kind of like suspicious of her. Like,
and all I did was take a glance. And I was like, you know, my one tip would be if you want to make it or look more local, your pictures are a little Texas pageant-y. Too much hair, too much makeup, too posed. As like, that was my one bit of advice to her. And so she was said she was originally from New York, but raised in Dallas, and now she was moving to LA with an investor in her fashion line, putting her up at the hotel. And it just, there were too many flags going off for me. So game recognizes game. Basically what happened is I was scrolling Twitter, and the Page Six article had just come out, and then I see it, and it says Alexander. It's a picture of her and Mauricio. I didn't even see Mauricio or the name. I was like, oh my God, there's that girl. And then I looked, oh my God, there's her name. Good for her. And I was like, then my jaw dropped when I shifted over and it was Mauricio. And my thinking was like, at that hotel, was she targeting, like, you know, I looked at who she follows on Instagram. Not that I'm important enough to target, but it's, you know, it's the Beverly Hills group. And I don't know if it was a coincidence that she was waiting in that hotel and made sure to walk out of it with him when there were cameras there. So I'll let you guys draw your own conclusions. I will just say,
none of our business.
Yeah, none of my business. I just think it was a setup is what I'll say. I think she set this whole thing up for press and she is riding high off of it. So good for her. By the way, I screenshot that she followed me in case this comes out and she hears it and unfollows. I have all the proof. So, oh boy, what a wholesome tale to end this, wrap this holiday season with.
So, well, there's no I pop culture episode. It's just a Bravo episode this
yeah, week. Yeah, this week. I mean, it's heavy. We have family. Believe it or not, we have family and people who don't hate us-ish. So we're going to do wholesome. We're going to do wholesome things, but your gift to us, of course, could always be to rate, subscribe, review, and follow Pretty Corrupt Podcast. Make the share with your whoever you meet in hotel lobbies, as long as it's a 5-star place. Head on over to social media, Instagram and TikTok, Pretty Corrupt Podcast, Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One, and of course, all our personal accounts are linked there, so you can follow our personal journeys of mayhem and mischief. Well, on that note, see you in the new year. Cause no one can do it like we do it.